Okay, everyone, welcome. Thank you for coming. Small crowd today. I heard this competition. I heard there's a ladies' cheer going on now, right? Midrashah cheer or something, whatever it's called.
A tarot
cheer. Okay, competing. Okay, tell you. Not as good. So there's a sefer, the Bnei Yisachar, which, even though we usually say Shevet Yisachar, but I didn't get a clear answer why, but specifically by this book, we say Yisachar, not Yisachar. I don't know why. But apparently the Bnei Yisachar is actually, he found out from the Chozer Lublin, he was speaking to the Chozer Lublin, and he said, I feel like I have a strong connection to Hanukkah, and he found out, the Chozer Lublin said, because you're part of Shevet Yisachar, and they had a connection with Hanukkah. So basically, I don't know all the details, but the Bnei Yisachar discusses a lot about Hanukkah. And he's from the Shevet Yisachar, that's why his name is Bnei Yisachar. There's also his son, the Shevet Yisachar, a lot of good things. So I want to mention two points that he talks about. So the first thing, so he quotes the Baal HaRokeach. So first of all, the Bnei Yisachar's name was Rev Tzvi Elimelech, I think Spira or Shapira, depending how you want to pronounce it. He lived between 1783 and 1841, so about he died a little less than 200 years ago. He very often quotes the Baal HaRokeach. The Baal HaRokeach is Rebbe Lezer de Garmaiza. Garmaiza is actually Worms. I don't know why it's spelled Garmaiza. Sometimes you see it spelled Garmaiza, sometimes it's spelled Vermaiza. So I think, yeah, I guess you play a little around with the letters a little bit, you eventually get the Worms. I guess that's how it always is. You play, take out a letter, add a letter eventually. Okay, so he quotes the Baal HaRokeach saying the following. So he says like this, on Hanukkah, right? On Hanukkah, there are 36 lights. Meaning if you count every single day, one, the first night, two, the second night, third night, meaning excluding the Shamish, the Shamish is not part of this count because the Shamish is a separate thing, but the lights that are persons obligated to light, there are 36 lights total, right? Like we discussed in Ben Shai. So the 36 lights are keneged, or in correspondence to the 36 hours of the light that Adam HaRishon had. Now we're going to explain. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says the following. In the beginning of the creation of the world, which is amazing because we're tying Hanukkah to the beginning of the creation of the world, God created the first day this supernatural, incredible light, anything beyond our scope of imagination. And that light was set aside specifically for who? For Adam HaRishon, right? For Adam HaRishon. What happened was, on the sixth day, when Adam was born, this light was given to him, and then he sinned. So once he sinned, God said, I'm going to take the light away from you, because you don't deserve it anymore. So what's the supernatural light? So the Gemara says that Adam Rishon was able to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. He's able to see physical things, non-physical things, spiritual things. He basically had this like incredible vision that we can't even fathom. We can't even understand what it was. And he lost it because he sinned. So what happened was, Hashem said, you're born on Friday. I gave it to you on Friday. I can't take it away before Shabbat, because Shabbat, the Kavod Shabbat, I'm gonna let you have it for another 24 hours. So what was interesting is that on Shabbat, it didn't say Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. In the Parsha, by every single day, it says Vayhi Erev, there was evening, Vayhi Boker, and there was day, there was morning. On Shabbat, it doesn't say that. So the reason is, this is at least one approach, there's probably many approaches, but at least this approach is that the light on Friday night, the light did not stop. It went Friday day through Friday night through Shabbat day, so 36 hours of straight light, and then finally on Motzei Shabbat, finally the light went away, and then the Gemara says Adam Rishon said, "Wait, I have no more light. I can't see anything." He got scared. He didn't know what it was going to be. He thought maybe the Nachash, maybe the snake is going to kill him. So God said, "Here's two bricks," and He told him to rub the bricks together. He did that, and then he discovered fire. So, and then that's where you say Borei Maresh on Motzei Shabbat. But basically, this incredible light was this supernatural, amazing light was given to Adam Rishon, and Adam Rishon sinned, and God took the light away from him. This light is now known as the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. God took it, and he didn't destroy it, he hid it for the future. So we're going to discuss different explanations to what he hid the light for. Okay, so that's the first premise. So the first premise is, we said 36 lights of Hanukkah is correspondent to the 36 hours that Adam Rishon had this light. Another thing It says in the pasuk, right in the beginning of the Torah, right at the beginning, it says Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov. What does Kitov mean? It was good, right? The light was good. So what's this good light? So Bnei Sefer points out that the Tet in Tov is right. The letter Tet is Gematria 9. It is equivalent to number 9, and the letter Tet has four little crowns, right? And if you look at the Sefer Torah, it's like little crowns. Every letter is crowns. So the four crowns basically means it's like times four. So the 9 is really times 4, 36. So it's another way to see the 36 lights. So right at the beginning of the Torah, the Tet with the four little crowns means 36. 36 what? 36 lights of Hanukkah. So right from the beginning of the creation of the world, we know the 36 lights are corresponding to the other Rishon 36 hours of this Araganuz, and also the Tet of Tov, which refers to the Araganuz, also has the number 36 in it. So on Hanukkah, what happened was that there was a lot going on. There was basically the Yevanim, the Greeks, they ruled over the whole world, and they were very powerful, and the Jews were not powerful, and eventually somehow the Jews made a revolution with the Hashmonaim, and they overcame the Greeks. And the whole miracle is celebrated with the Nerot, with the Hanukkah, right? So it's interesting. Why don't we don't focus much on the war, on this, on that, on the miracles. We focus on one thing, on the Ner, on the Hanukkah, the light. So what's specific about the menorah? Why is the sole focus zeroed in on the menorah? So Bnei Sasser explains that the menorah, right? So we know that Hanukkah, we say, is Torah Shabbat Peh, right? Hanukkah is corresponding to the Torah, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral Torah. And he brings down like a hint, a way to figure out that the menorah is connected to the Torah, to the Chochmat Torah, to the wisdom of the Torah. Why? Because it says in the Gemara, and I think it's Gemara Bava Batra, I think, HaRotzeh Lehachrim Yardim. If a person wants to become a Chacham, Yardim, he has to go down, he has to go south, right? Like Dharam, he has to go south. And what was south? The menorah was in the south. It was in the south of the Beit Mikdash. It was the south of the Mishkan. It was always placed in the south. So what does it mean a person wants to become a Chacham? You want to become wise, you go south. So a way to understand, you go south, you go to the menorah. Because that's where the wisdom is, by the menorah. Meaning, again, a person wants to become wise, they go south, and the menorah is in the south. So obviously, if you go to the menorah, you're not just going to get wise from going to the menorah. So it must be that in the menorah is a hint, has a deeper meaning. The menorah is also referring to the Torah. And the Torah is what? The Torah makes a person wise. And not only that, but he brings down that the Or HaGanuz, this hidden light that we discuss, is hidden in the Torah. Where's the hidden light? In the Torah. So I'm gonna show you a few things in a minute how we see that the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light, is in the Torah. So one thing we already discussed, Vayar Akim et Or Kitov, the light was good. So we already see from the Torah itself that the light is connected to the Torah. But we'll see other sources. So far so good. So Chanukah. Now, why is it called Chanukah? Why is the holiday called Chanukah? So the holiday is called Hanukkah because Hanukkah means chinuch, right? Chinuch, education. So what? Generally, a person educates the future, right? We educate for the future, to grow in the future. So what education is there in this holiday, right? We're not really eating latkes and donuts. So what education is there? You know, if anything, eating latkes and donuts is maybe contrary to education, right? So we're being educated. So Vinay Sasser explains, for latid lavo begeula, when Mashiach comes in the future, Mashiach is going to come. We're being educated for that time. So what does it mean? How does that connect to anything? How do you understand that? She says, oh, because at that time when Mashiach comes, the Or HaGanuz is going to be in full strength. It's going to be the full Or HaGanuz, the full light is going to be at the time of Mashiach. And now we have to educate ourselves, meaning we have to get used to the light a little bit, and because you can never jump into something too much, you have to take steps a little bit at a time, and we have to basically get ourselves used to the light. So what does that mean? So he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'ganzul tzadikim atid lavo." God hid it, put it away for the tzadikim for the future generations. So that could be the way Bnei Sasker is learning. It means the tzadikim in the future when Mashiach comes, we're going to have the Or HaGanuz. The hidden light is going to be latid lavo. In the future, Mashiach comes, we're going to have the light. But there's a few other options a few other ideas in this Gemara. So it says, "Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov." God saw that the light was good. What does Tov mean? God saw the light was good. There's another pasuk says, "Amrut Tzadik Kitov." The Tzadik says Kitov. So one of the options, one of the approaches, you could say that Vayakim Ta'or Kitov, and the Tzaddik says Kitov. That means God created this light for who? For the Tzaddik. For the Tzaddikim. Right? So the way B'nai Sassar is, the B'nai Sassar is more focusing on the Atid Lavo, but another way to understand is even now the Atid Lavo, even now, even the Tzaddikim now have a little bit of the glimpse of the light. The Medrash Tanchuma writes that a person learns Torah Shebal Peh, which is the verbal, the Torah Shebal Peh, not the written Torah, the verbal Torah. A person learns Torah Shebal Peh by day and by night, they have the schut, they have the merit to have a glimpse of that, or haganuz, whatever that means. Again, maybe it becomes part of them. The Zohar also says if a person exerts themselves in Torah, then a ray from the haganuz shines forth onto them. The Baal Shem Tov, I was learning last night in the Aguda in Pesach, that's where I live, and there's a Chassidish Yid that came in, and he's collecting money, and he saw I was learning. And he's like, oh, you learned the B'nai Sassar. So he started talking to me learning, and he told me a few interesting things. So two things he told me about this Gemara, about Ganzu et Tzadikim Atid Avod. God Ganzu et Tzadikim, he hid it for Tzadikim for the future. He said, the Baal Shem Tov says, or the Baal Shem Tov said, that in every generation, the Tzadikim are able to open up the Torah, and they could see from the Torah what's going on in the world. And that's what it means with Ganzu Tzadikim. God hid it. Hid, meaning within the Torah, God hid for the Tzadikim Atid Lavo. In the future, meaning every generation in the future, as the world is evolving, every generation in the future, God created for the Tzadikim that they could see inside the Torah, and they could see what's going on in the world. So but at least now we know regarding the light, the 36 Neros, right, 36 Nerot, we know that there's right, the Or HaGanuz is in the 36 Nerot. So this Jew that I met yesterday, he told me that the Rav Shitzer, which was a big Chassidish rabbi, he used to look every Chanukah, he would stare at the lights for half an hour every night, right? They say you're supposed to look at the lights for half an hour, even though you can't, you're not allowed to derive benefit, meaning you're not allowed to read your book by the lights and to use it as your main light. But you're still allowed to, you're not only allowed to stare at them, you're supposed to stare at them. So the Rav Shitzer used to stare at the lights, and he said that gave him like clarity for the next 12 months. So every Chanukah, he looked forward to Chanukah, because those 8 days where he stared at the lights for half an hour every single night, that gave him clarity of mind, and he was able to see things much clearer for the rest of the year. So he looked forward to lighting the Chanukah candles. So basically, the B'nai Yisachar, so even though we said that the Or HaGanuz is if you learn Torah, Torah Shabbat, different learning, a person is Zocheh, has a merit to have a little bit of the Or HaGanuz, but the way B'nai Yisachar is learning is V'ganzu Tzadikim Atid Lavo literally means Atid Lavo in the future. So in the future, the Tzadikim are going to have the Or HaGanuz. That's what the Gemara says. So then what does that have to do with Chanukah? Meaning he said Chanukah means education. So why are we being, was being educated having to do with the light? So he explains that there's four malchuyot, there's four kingdoms. The first malchut is Bavel, the second one is Paras u'Madai, the third one is Yavan, and the fourth one is Edom. Right now we're what? We're malchut Edom, right? The malchut Edom. The third malchut, which was Yavan, which was the Greek Empire, that's when the nest, the miracle of Chanukah happened. So in the miracle of Chanukah, the B'nai Sasra says, we got a little glimpse of the Or HaGanuz because Hashem said, look, Mashiach is going to come by the fourth Malchut. So Hashem said, the Jews can't just go 0 to 60. You don't know anything about the Or HaGanuz, and all of a sudden comes one day, Mashiach comes, and you get the full Or HaGanuz. It's going to be too much. It's going to be overbearing. We're not going to be able to handle it properly. So Hashem said, we're going to have the Nesach Hanukkah, and by Hanukkah, we're going to be able to see the light a little bit, experience it a little bit, enjoy it a little bit. And once we're ready to get used to it, and we light the Hanukkah every year, eventually, by the time the fourth Malchut comes, and Mashiach is going to come, we're already going to be at least accustomed to it, so we could at least know what it is, and at least it's not going to be overwhelming. And it's actually interesting because Rav Dechter was telling me that Rav Adi Yosef, it's actually funny, Rav Simon quotes this all the time, and Rav Dechter reminded me in the car on the way here that the pasuk says Ani amarti b'chavzi kol ha'adam kozef. So there's different ways to translate that pasuk, but Rav Adi Yosef used to have bederach drush in a way to explain it in a drush way, in a, like a drusha way. Ani amarti b'chavzi. If a person says something b'chavzi, which could be translated as quickly, right? Call Hadam Kozev. A person is going to forget their learning. Meaning every person is going to forget their learning. So Rav Yosef used to say, when a person learns, if they learn too quickly, right, b'chipazon, it's quick, then you know, you learn, you're not going to remember anything. You have to learn, you have to absorb, person has to, obviously each to his own level, to his own skill, to his own mind, but, you know, some of the big rabbis used to say you used to learn very quickly, but for them, very quickly wasn't, you know, to us it was quickly, to them it wasn't. But every person has to do things on their pace. They have to pace themselves. So Rav Dechter was saying, that could be shot over here. Meaning Hashem is pacing us for the light. We can't have too much light in one shot. We have to do a little bit at a time, get used to it, and then eventually we pace ourselves for the future and when we're going to get to fall or Haganuz. So my Rebbe, this made me remember that my Rebbe in the Mir, I was in the Mir Yeshiva for 3 years, my Rebbe Waxel would always say from the Chazon Ish, he would say, Chazon Ish would say 70 years ago, that we're in Ikvita de Mashiach, meaning we're in the birth pains of Mashiach, we're the heel of Mashiach. Mashiach's around the corner. So this is already 6 years ago, maybe, used to say this. So 76 years ago, where the Chazon Ish used to say, we're Ikvita de Mashiach, we're already getting close to the time of the Mashiach. Okay, so that was the first thing I wanted to share with you. And then just another small piece that I thought would be interesting. You could there's a lot of different pieces. There's like pages and pages. You could probably sit and learn this sefer, just the stuff on Hanukkah, for like a year straight, every single day. But there's another piece I thought maybe would be interesting. So he discusses, like we said, it's usher to benefit, to have direct benefit from the lights. So last week, actually this is unusual to have more men than women by a shiur. last week we had a women's round robin shiur. You were there, right? I think you were there. Okay, good. So you know what? I can say this piece. No one is there. That's great. I'll tell you exactly what I said. So last week I said the Kedushat Levi. The Kedushat Levi says the following. So who's the Kedushat Levi? The Berdichever. Berdichever was one of a kind tzaddik. One of a kind. Also Chassidish. A lot. You have to know all the Chassidish rabbis. So he used to say, how come we can't derive benefit from the lights? So he said this. It's Machloket and Halacha. Is it mutar to benefit from the lights? Is it asur to benefit from the lights? Which one? So we say, we pass in halacha, asur. You're not allowed to derive benefits from the lights. Okay, so what's pshat? What's the reason? So he gives a very interesting reason, b'derech drush, in a way to explain things in a drush way, in a, you know, a nice explanation. He says a mashal, he says a parable. There's a pauper, is a very, 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 very poor man, lives somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And this very rich king comes and visits the neighborhood, visits the city, and he goes around to different wealthy people, some of his friends, and he says, you know, I want to go visit that pauper who lives over there in the corner. I want to visit this old poor man. So there's two types of approaches he could have. The one approach this pauper could say is, wow, the king, it's amazing. I get to see all these riches. I get to see the fancy clothing, and I get to see the royalty, and his nice limousine, and his nice suits. And it's so incredible. I've never experienced such wealth in front of me in my life. So that's a simple approach, because everyone knows that the king has a lot more money and a lot more wealth than what he's carrying around, you know. So the simple pauper doesn't realize, doesn't see past what's just the materialistic, what's in front of him. He doesn't realize that the king is much greater than he seems. The chacham pauper, the smart poor man says, no. There's something more to enjoy over here. The fact that forget the wealth. I know the king has tons of wealth. The fact that the king came to my house, to me, to my shack, he came to visit me, personal greeting, that's something unbelievable. So Kedushat Levi says so too by us with Nisim. Every single day it's Nisim. We have millions of Nisim times us, every day, every single day. So a person could be like, oh wow, look at the miracle, God performed a great miracle. But the smart person says, no. God's performing miracles every day. I know the miracles. I know God can make millions of miracles. What's amazing is that God created a miracle for me, for myself. And then, that's something more special. It's more intimate. It's more, you have a close relationship with God. It's more meaningful. So he says that's the reason why we can't benefit from the lights. We can't benefit from the lights because if you benefit from the lights, you're basically saying, oh wow, there's beautiful lights. Let me enjoy the physical aspect of the fire. But that's very elementary. That's very basic. Why would a person think that's the whole miracle of Hanukkah, so you can light a few candles and you can enjoy it? A person knows that's not a great thing. That's a simple thing. You can light candles whenever you want. A person says, no. I'm lighting Hanukkah candles to remind me that God is always creating miracles, always performing miracles, has performed miracles, especially in Hanukkah, and is continuously performs miracles for me, for my family, for everyone I know, for the whole world. And a person realizes that he gets to have an intimate relationship with God. I'm lighting the Hanukkah candles in my house because I know that God cares about me, cares about my family. So that's already a higher level. So according to that, we say don't enjoy the physical aspect of the lights, because if you enjoy the physical aspect of the lights, you're basically missing the whole bowl. You're missing the whole reasoning behind the lights. So that was the Kedushat Levi's approach, and I was able to repeat it. The other approach, the approach of Bnei Yisachar has, is an interesting approach. So he basically says like this. He says something amazing. He ties this to Avram Avinu. Now I just want to point out, even though Hanukkah is not a biblical, holiday, right? It's a rabbinical holiday. The rabbis made Hanukkah. But it's always like this. Hanukkah and Purim, you know, two holidays that are not, they're not explicitly written in the Torah, black on white, but B'derech Drush and B'derech Remez, and for sure B'derech Kabbalah, there's millions of ways to tie them back into the Torah. Millions of ways. So, like we just did a minute ago. And now, he brings down that Avram Avinu, as we all know, the Malachim came, and he gave them Basar B'chalav. He gave them meat, he gave them milk. Which is, you know, there's different approaches how he did it. For instance, you know, there's different approaches. But the general, we're not going to get into the details. The general question is, how could Avram Avinu kept the Torah? He kept the Kol HaTorah Kula. So how could he give Basar B'chalav to the Malachim? Right? Especially since he thought they were human beings. So if you can't eat Basar B'chalav, you can't give someone else Basar B'chalav. So the main question that he asks, he actually doesn't ask why he gave them Basar B'chalav, so maybe let's say it's not a problem. He asks, how come he cooked Basar B'chalav? So I guess, let's assume, maybe I said something wrong. Maybe really it's, I guess whatever reason, he's assuming it's fine to give Basar B'chalav to them, because I guess he knew they weren't Jews. But the problem is a Jew has an isser to eat Basar B'chalav and to cook Basar B'chalav, and to derive hana, benefit from Basar B'chalav. So in this case, how did Avram Avinu cook? How did he make the food? He was cooking milk and meat together. So the way the Bnei Yisachar is learning is that he cooked them together. You know how to do that. You know how to cook Basar B'chalav together. So, right, you know how to cook meat and milk together, right? It's asur. Besides for eating it. And right, so when you learn Bezal Hashem, everyone here should get smicha, Bezal Hashem, when you learn Basar B'chalav, the first thing you learn is it says, Lo tavashel gedi b'chalei v'imo. A person cannot cook a gedi is a calf, I think, right? With its mother's milk. So it means, why it says it three times in the Torah. Why three times? One, because it's also to eat it. One, because it's also to cook it. And one, because it's also to have any hana, any pleasure. That means if you sell it and you make $10 off the hamburger with cheese that you made, asur. So the question is, how did Avram Avinu cook it? So the answer is he didn't cook it. Gerit Toshev.
Does it apply to, like, the Jew is God forbid working with McDonald's?
Yes, it does. It does, it does. So it does. Really, it's a big problem. You might not even be allowed to own stocks at McDonald's. Yeah, I'm not. You can't. Don't ask me, but ask a bigger rabbi.
The meat is not kosher meat. Basar B'chalav only applies to the meat of kosher animals in the first place, because we see from Gedi that it has to be a kosher animal. An animal that you can eat in the first place.
But what if they have cow? Sometimes they have regular meat, cow's meat, or chicken. They're a banan.
No, but it still has to be like. And you know what? It's a discussion I want to have, but.
Yeah, we'll discuss it. Yeah, perfect. But basically, so let's at least b'derech Josh. Right, in a approach, right? Sometimes the rabbis, when they'll bring in, if it's not halachic, like now we're not having a halachic discussion. Sometimes they'll bring in things in a more like a general perspective. So from a general perspective, the question is, how did Avram Avinu cook Basar B'chalav? So the answer is, it wasn't him that cooked it. He says it was a Ger Toshav that cooked it, which means it was either, like Rav Dechter said, it was either his servant, Eliezer, or maybe it was someone else. So what's a Ger Toshav? A Ger Toshav is a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and they're non-Jew, they're not Jewish, but they accept upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvot V'nei Noach. So Sheva Mitzvot V'nei Noach, a person is called a Ger Toshav. They're not a full Ger, they're not a Ger Tzedek, but they're a Ger Toshav because they accept the Shem Mitzvot V'nei Noach, they can live in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer was it was a ger toshav who cooked it. So he doesn't have an isur, he doesn't have a problem of cooking basar v'chalav. And not only that, but another issue that Avraham Avinu circumvented is a ger toshav apparently is allowed to cook food for a Jew. So there's no problem of bishul akum. So the next question, Minei Sasra says, okay, so we don't have the problem of bishul, but we said, hana, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to have hana, I can't have any pleasure. So why can't you have any pleasure? Because it's Sasra to have pleasure in basar v'chalav. So let's say you say that it was malachim, right? You say it was, let's say Avraham Avinu knew that it was malachim. Let's assume that for a minute. So he knew it was angels and they weren't human beings. So the question is that he, knowing it was angels, is for sure having hana by giving to them. So you could ask me, Rav Hazan, what pleasure is Avraham Avinu getting from giving it to a bunch of angels? He's not eating it. So the answer is a Gemara. As Gemara says, on Shabbat, Pechet Amud Bet, is that what happened was, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and he came up, he was ready to get the Torah, and you know what the angel said? God, who is this guy over here? What is he doing here? So God said, oh, he's here to get the Torah. He's here to get the Torah? This guy's a human being. What is he here coming to get the Torah? So there's a whole back and forth, you know? And eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to defend yourself. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm defending myself, I'm afraid the malachim are going to burn me up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, don't worry about the malachim, they're not going to burn you up, you can hold on to my throne, and you can talk to them, and they're not going to do anything to you. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He said, you guys don't have parents, so you don't have mitzvah kibud avim. You guys don't live among the idolatrous nations. You don't have isur of serving other gods. And you guys weren't in Mitzrayim. So you don't have the mitzvah of serving God who took you out of Egypt. And so on and so forth, and all the different cases. And eventually the malachim, the angel said, you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not supposed to get the Torah, you're supposed to get the Torah. So one of the things is that Avraham Avinu said, look, Moshe Rabbeinu could have told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu gave basar b'chalav to the Malachim. The Malachim ate the basar b'chalav. Human beings don't eat basar b'chalav because they're Jews and we're not allowed. So we could say, look, they ate basar b'chalav and we didn't. So he's using this as like a defense, as an offense towards the Malachim and a defense for us to be able to get the Torah. So according to this, when Avraham Avinu gave the basar b'chalav, he was getting a tremendous amount of hana, a tremendous amount of benefit. What was the benefit? He was given the basar b'chalav as a setup to use in the future when Clarissa is going to get the Torah. Right? David Selman? No? Live it out of the box for you. Okay? So, you made it to the recorder. So the answer is the following. The answer is, another Gemara, is that the Gemara says, there's basically a concept, and we'll wrap up with this, is that Torah, or mitzvot, lav lehenot nitnu. That means, learning Torah and performing mitzvot were not created for our direct benefit. What does it mean they weren't created for our direct benefit? They were doing yishik, imagine yishik lulav and etrog. You're doing it because you're getting a spiritual benefit. You're doing a mitzvah. You're getting closer to God. You don't actually physically enjoy it. Now, it happens to be sometimes there is physical enjoyment aspect to mitzvot, but sometimes there isn't. But overall, the approach is Torah and mitzvot are not for physical enjoyment. Now, the Gemara Nedarim brings down, let's say a guy says, I swear I'm not going to use this mikveh, right here. The freezing cold mikveh, I'm never going to use it. Right? So he's not going to use it. So let's say it's the summer, right? And the summer it's 120 degrees outside, like for example the Arizal's mikveh in Tzfat, 120 degrees outside in the summer, people are jumping in 10 times a day. Why? Because they get physical pleasure out of it. So when a person gets an additional physical pleasure, then, if a person says, I swear I'm not going to have pleasure, I'm not going to have enjoyment, then they're not allowed to enjoy it. But if it's the middle of winter, and there's no physical pleasure jumping in a freezing cold mikveh in the middle of the winter, the only pleasure is a spiritual pleasure, meaning a person goes in and they feel spiritually cleansed, right? So that's mutar. Why is that mutar? Because like we just said, Torah mitzvot, lav lehanot nitnu. When a person performs mitzvot, a person learns Torah, there's no real physical pleasure in it. So even though there's spiritual pleasure, but there's no physical pleasure in it. Unless, right, like we said, unless it's like a hot day and you're enjoying it on a physical level. So now that we have that, now that we know this concept of Torah mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, so we say that Avraham Avinu, when he gave the basar b'chalav to the malachim, and our question was, how can he give the malachim? He's using this as a defense for Klal Yisrael in the future. So he's getting great benefit from it. So the answer is no. Why is there no benefit? Because even though that was one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu could have told God, but at the end of the day, that would have helped us to do what? That reasoning that the Malachim eat Basar V'chalav and we don't, that would have helped for us to get the Torah. But the Torah is not for Hana. So you can't say Avraham Avinu got Hana because the Torah is not for, there's no Hana in the Torah, we just said. There's no pleasure. There's no physical pleasure in the Torah. So according to this, we see that Higin and Basar V'chalav, so Torah and Mitzvot are Lava not Ninu. So we see from the story with Avraham Avinu that Chanukah also is a Mitzvah. You light Chanukah lights. So Torah Mitzvot Lava not Ninu. So we see from here another reason why on Chanukah you're not supposed to derive direct benefit from the lights. Because the lights are there as a Mitzvah and you're not supposed to derive benefit from the Mitzvah. Okay, that's a little bit out of the box. Okay, I want to get everybody a Bracha. Everyone a Bracha, first of all, that you should do incredibly well on all your exams. And everyone should get hundreds. Besides for that, we should be zocher this Chanukah to look at the lights and to derive direct benefit, but to look at the lights and be able to be zocher to get the Or HaGanuz inside of us, without Hashem, and we should be zocher to see the full Or HaGanuz. Remember, Menu. Amen. Okay, thank you. That was good.
It was deep.
It's deep, right? It's deep.